Good morning. See everyone out. I was just making sure on my phone that everything was going as it should, and seeing that Cindy has a friend, and I don't know her last name. I'm trying to find you, Cindy. Are you here, in here somewhere? But her name is Amber, and her boyfriend's mother passed away sometime this morning around 5:30, and she had posted during this service on our Facebook, just asked for a word of prayer for her boyfriend's family, and I don't know any specifics or even names, but let's go ahead and bow our heads. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we come to you with Amber and her family on our minds and praying to you for them, Father, that they went through a sudden loss, and we pray that you comfort them, that you give them guidance and strength, Father, in the coming days. Father, we ask that as a church that we can offer support in any way to them. Father, we know that this life is fragile, and we know that we oftentimes take it for granted, and we should be more mindful of each other, Father, and the relationships that we have here on earth. We thank you for Christ and the hope that we have in him, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. I love this congregation here, and I believe that we are a good place to bring friends and to make friends. And hopefully, when all of this, we come through this COVID business, we'll be that place again. I hope that you spend some time, if you are here in the building, getting to know each other. And if you're online, or if you're even here, looking at those that worship with us online that maybe aren't making it to services just yet, and reaching out to them and getting to know them as well. I hope we spend time getting to know each other and maybe making new friends. Now, I've been thinking a lot about that word friend or friends for quite some time now. It's kind of funny how social media has changed the way we think of the word friend. I've had multiple occasions, and probably you all have too, where someone will come up and say, hi, and I'm pretty sure that I've never met them before in my life, and they will tell me their name, and that doesn't really help. And then they will say, actually, we're friends on Facebook. And I think, how is that even possible, that you are introducing yourself to me as my friend, even though I've never met you before in my life? I can remember my very first friend request, and it was way before Facebook. A kid shows up at my mom and dad's house, and he says, hi, my name's Ryan, do you want to be friends? And for a second, I was just like, whoa, slow down just a little bit. You're coming on awful strong there. He didn't say, hi, my name is Ryan, what's your name? He just went straight for that friend request. Of course, I said, yeah, and we had a pretty good friendship. But I think that we all realize that having a real friendship with a real person requires more than just a friend request. A real friendship with a real person requires real effort. It takes effort to be friends with someone. That friendship, by its very nature, requires more than somebody just saying, I want to be your friend. It requires time. There was a study done by a guy named Jeffrey Hall at the University of Kansas, and he did some research on time spent with someone and the level of closeness you have with that person. And he concluded that it takes between 40 and 60 hours to have a casual friendship with someone. Just to be casual friends, it takes 40 to 60 hours to be with someone. Then to go from casual to friends, it requires an additional 80 to 100 hours. Then if you want to be good friends or best friends with someone, it takes an additional 160 to 200 hours. I think, though, we understand that having a real friendship with a real person requires real effort. You have to spend time with someone to be friends. You have to talk to each other to be friends. You have to share things in common with each other to be friends. You have to like each other. Real friendship requires real effort with a real person. This morning, I want to talk to you all about the fact that Jesus offers to be friends with not only just the first 12 apostles, but we might also say that he's sending us a friend request in 2020. And what does that mean for Jesus, for God in flesh, the divine word of God that has become a human being, to want to be, to desire to be, to offer to be your friend? What does that look like? What does that mean? What does it cost to be a friend of Jesus? Are we friends with Jesus? So let's look at our text this morning, John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. And this is an idea that we've been talking about a lot lately here on Sunday mornings. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And again, in the Gospel of John, Jesus doesn't spend a whole lot of time going through commandments. There's no Sermon on the Mount with a ton of different things for you to do. In the Gospel of John, it's all summed up like this. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And think about that term, "one another," just for a second. What does that imply? Well, it implies it's a reciprocal type of relationship. That the church isn't supposed to be made up, the community of Jesus followers is not supposed to be made up of one-sided relationships, but of reciprocal relationships, where I love you and you love me, where I help you and you help me, we're both in this together. That doesn't mean that we withhold our love. Unless you're going to love me, I'm not going to love you. That's not what it means. But it does mean that Jesus' disciples are supposed to be part of a community where we love one another, where our love is reciprocated, where we help each other, where we carry each other's burdens, where we not only love one another, but we allow ourselves to be loved. And sometimes that's the harder of the two, isn't it? Sometimes it's harder to allow someone to love us rather than it is for us to love someone. Sometimes it's harder to allow ourselves to be known rather than it is to know someone. It's one thing to say, "I want to know all about you. I really want to know you, what interests you, what your hopes are and your fears are." But it's another thing entirely to say that I'm willing to be vulnerable to you. I want to allow you to know me, what my hopes are, what my fears and dreams are. That's the kind of community that Jesus commands we be a part of. That's the kind of love he commands us to have for each other. He tells his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." How? "As I have loved you." And then he explains what it looks like. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." In other words, Jesus is commanding his disciples to be friends with each other, to love each other, to carry each other's burdens, to be there for each other. He says this is what it looks like to be someone's friend. This is what real love looks like, that you would lay down your life for each other. This is the kind of friendship, this is the kind of love, that Jesus-shaped love, that Jesus-shaped friendship is self-giving. As John says in 1 John 3, that Jesus laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. This is what church is supposed to look like. Church isn't supposed to be made up of one-sided relationships, but of reciprocal relationships where we love each other and carry each other's burdens, that we love one another and we allow one another to love us, that we know each other and allow ourselves to be known. Now, look at what he says in verse 14. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." And now some of us there may want to push back on that for just a second and say, "Wait a second. What's this if stuff? I thought Jesus was supposed to be friends with everybody. I thought Jesus' friendship was supposed to be unconditional." That sounds very conditional. "You're my friends if..." And I want to be very clear that Jesus does love everybody. Regardless of what they do or don't do, Jesus loves people, every person. And Jesus isn't saying here, "You have to earn my friendship, that you have to merit his friendship." That's not what Jesus is saying. You don't expect someone to earn your friendship, do you? You don't say, "Listen, there's like five or six people in my life right now, and they're all competing to be my friends, and I'm pretty sure that maybe one or two of them is going to make it." No, nobody says that. No, I hope not anyway. Nobody expects somebody to earn their friendship, to earn a place in their life. No, nobody does that. Jesus isn't doing that, but friendship by its very nature, is conditional to some extent, isn't it? That real friendship with a real person requires real effort, and Jesus is a real person. This is how we know that we are in a friendship with a real person and not an idea of Jesus or a philosophy of Jesus or a character of Jesus. Now, I have never done this, but some of you all may have binge-watched a show on Netflix. And sometimes when you do that, there's way too many laughs over here. Sometimes when you do that, you get to know those characters, or you think you get to know those characters, and you feel like they're your friends. I could probably hang out with them. But in reality, you don't. They're not really your friends. And in fact, they're not even real. They're just an idea. They're just a character. And sometimes I think we think of Jesus like that. But one of the ways we know that we are in a real friendship and not a friendship with a character or an idea is that it actually requires something of us. It doesn't require anything of us to be friends with a character on TV. They never ask anything of us. They never call us up in the middle of the game and say, "Hey, I know a big game's going on, but I need your help moving." They never call you up and say, "I know you're busy, but I just need somebody to talk to." Because fake friendships or friendships with ideas or friendships with philosophies or friendships with characters, they require nothing of you. But real friendships with real people require real effort. Jesus says, "If you are my friends, you will do what I command you." That Jesus and a friendship with Jesus requires something of us. He gives us, he asks of us things, he gives us opportunities to prove our friendship with him. Now, you would never ask someone to earn your friendship, but what if about somebody who says, "Listen, he never wants to talk. I call and leave a voicemail and she never calls me back. Every time I text them, they never text me back. They never help me. They don't like me. They never want to talk to me. We're great friends." You don't say that, do you? Nobody says that, because friendship, by its very nature, is conditional on certain things. There are certain things we all would say, if you act this way, or you do this, or you live this way, or you're this kind of person, you are not my friend. By doing those things, you are proving yourself not to be my friend, and Jesus says, if you are my friend, you will do what I command you. Well, in context, what is he telling us to do? To love one another. Involve yourself in this. Allow yourself to be loved by my people, and in turn, love my people. What is it that he told Peter? He said, "Peter, do you love me? And if you do, feed my sheep. You'll take care of my sheep." And he says the same thing to us. If you love me, this is how you prove your love to me. This is how you prove your friendship. This is the evidence that you are my friends, that you love one another. Look at verse 15. He says, "No longer do I call you servants." It isn't just that Jesus is commanding. You don't just call up your friends and say, "Hey, I need you and your truck at my house in 5 minutes. Don't ask questions. Just show up." You don't do that. You don't command your friends like that. If somebody is your friend, you let them in on why. You say, "This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm hoping to do. This is what I want to accomplish. Here's my plans and my dreams. Here's why I want to partner with you." And Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends." Why? "For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." It isn't just that Jesus shows up and says, "Here's a list of things you need to do." But Jesus says to his disciples, for years, he said, "Come and see. Come and hang out with me. Come and have a relationship with me. Come and be my friend." And now he says, "Now I'm opening the doors for you, and I'm telling you what is going on, and the Spirit of truth is going to come, and he's going to reveal all of these things to you. You know what I'm doing, and you know what I'm trying to accomplish. You know where I'm going. You know what my plans are, because you're not my slaves, you're my friends." Jesus is saying, "I'm wanting to let you in on something. I want to partner with you." And Jesus' offer for friendship isn't just relational, but it's functional. It's not just relational, like, I love you, I like you, I want to hang out with you. I mean, that's great, and Jesus does love you and like you and want to hang out with you, but it's also functional. I want to accomplish something. That was true for the original 12, and that's true for all those who believe because of their testimony, and that's us. Now, Jesus makes this offer, this request to be his friend, not just to command us to go and do this stuff, but to partner with us and go with us and walk with us. He wants to be in you and you in him. He wants me to be in you, you to be in me, the Father in me, the Father in you, the Spirit in me, and the Spirit in you. Jesus says, I want us to be connected and I want to bear fruit together. Verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father's and Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. And that's the result. That's the evidence. That's the opportunity to show him that we are truly his friends. That's what it looks like to partner together with Jesus, that we are one. It proves that we are one with Jesus and that Jesus is one with God and that we are one with each other and we love each other even when we are hard to love. We love each other on the bad days and the good days. We love each other when it feels like a blessing and when it feels like a curse. And we love each other, why? Because this is what it looks like to be friends with Jesus, to love one another as he has loved us. Several years ago, I was out with a group of friends, and we took up a pretty good-sized table, and I'm sure we were loud and caused quite a scene. And the cashier said, are you all like friends? And I said, yeah. We're friends of friends, but yeah, we're all friends. And she said, well, are you all like lifelong friends? Oh, well, maybe some of us, I guess. Maybe from this point on, we'll all be lifelong friends. And she said, are you all like best friends? And it's like, come on, lady, are you the friend police? So let's go. I don't know. I like them a whole lot, though. But sometimes we need someone to call us out a little bit. Are you being a friend? Are you good friends? Are you lifelong friends? So here is our moment of truth question. Are you friends with Jesus? Real friendships with real people require real effort. You have to spend time together. Is Jesus the one you turn and talk to? Do you listen to him? Not listen to him like I have to study all these facts. I've got to learn all these things like you're studying for a test, but like you're listening to a friend. Do you listen to him? Do you hang on his every word? Do you talk to him? Do you love his people? Jesus says, if you do as I commanded you, love one another as I have loved you, then you are my friends. And what a tremendous offer that is, to truly be a friend to the Son of God, to partner with him, to go out into the world as a friend of Jesus. And that's what we here, this group of people, wants to be about, being friends with one another, loving each other on the good days and the bad days, but also giving people the opportunity to be Jesus' friends. We can't force anyone to be a friend of Jesus. We can't force anybody to accept Jesus' offer for friendship, but we can make an introduction, and that's what we want to do. Just introduce people to the opportunity to be friends with Jesus. And that's what being baptized is. It's sort of accepting Jesus' friend request to say, yes, I will be your friend. I will be loved by you, and I will love you. I will listen to you. I will speak to you. I'll walk with you, and I'll partner with you. I'll be part of what you're trying to accomplish in this world, and I'll bring about the good fruit in your name, and I will be your friend. But of course, every day then we have to recommit to being a friend to Jesus and remember that real friendship with a real person requires real effort. Maybe this morning we can introduce you to Jesus, or maybe we can pray with you or for you and encourage you. Maybe you're ready to be a follower of Jesus and be baptized into him. If we can help in any way, let us be your friend. Please come as together we stand and we sing.